See, today, Jesus was making a name for himself as a miracle worker and as a wisdom teacher, has now a great crowd that are following him, listening to his words. Could say that he's made it in a worldly sense. If he were a podcaster, he made it to the point where he can monetize, right? That's exactly the goal, right? He has enough listeners to have his word be spread. So what will he do with this newfound great audience? What will he do? I want to start actually by backing up and looking at the reading from the Book of Wisdom. This is actually part of the prayer of Solomon. Solomon, whom the Lord says, ask for whatever you wish, give it to you. And he prays for wisdom. So I'd like to actually read the rest of this prayer, the beginning part of this prayer. He says, God of my ancestors, Lord of mercy, you who have made all things by your word, and in your wisdom have established humankind to rule the creatures produced by you, and to govern the world in holiness and righteousness, and to render judgment and integrity of heart, give me wisdom, the attendant at your throne. And do not reject me from among your children, for I am your servant, the child of your maidservant, a man weak and short-lived and lacking in comprehension of judgment and of laws. Solomon begins his prayer by recognizing who God is and who he himself is, someone who is weak, someone who lacks understanding. And so he is showing to the Lord his openness to divine wisdom. He continues on, indeed, though one be perfect among mortals, if wisdom who comes from you be lacking, that one will count for nothing. It's an extraordinary statement. Even if someone is perfect among mortals, if he does not have divine wisdom, he will count for nothing. He goes on to say, you have chosen me, king, over your people, and magistrate over your sons and daughters. You have bid me build a temple on your holy mountain and an altar in the city that is your dwelling place, a copy of the holy tabernacle which you had established from of old. Now with you is wisdom, who knows your works and was present when you made the world, who understands what is pleasing in your eyes and what is conformable with your commands. Send her forth from your holy heavens, and from your glorious throne dispatch her, that she may be with me and work with me, that I may know what is pleasing to you. For she knows and understands all things, and will guide me prudently in all my affairs, and safeguard me by her glory. Thus my deeds will be acceptable, and I will judge your people justly, and be worthy of my Father's throne. Wisdom, Solomon recognizes, is the one who knows the depths of God, right? It is the Spirit of God. And the fruit of wisdom for us is that we know what is pleasing to God. And he continues with what we heard earlier, like who can understand the Lord's ways? Who knows him? We cannot know his counsel unless he give us wisdom and sends his Holy Spirit from on high. It's a beautiful, beautiful prayer of King Solomon as he takes on his royal duties. So where can we find this wisdom? A wisdom that's not of the world, but of God. Divine wisdom. Well, the word that Jesus has for us today is certainly not human wisdom, right? Who on earth would say what Jesus said? Who on earth would demand that his followers hate their mother and father? It would be an absurdity. I encourage you to listen to Father Barron's sermon from Word on Fire, Bishop Barron's sermon from Word on Fire, to kind of go deeper into this point. But what we see there is that Jesus is revealing that He is divine. He's demanding something that only God could demand. He's saying, love nothing and no one, not even your closest relations, not even your strongest human bonds. Love nothing above Him. Jesus is using a teaching method, we call it hyperbole, right? He's intentionally exaggerating so that the point can come across and be easily remembered. He's not telling us to hate in the literal sense of wishing ill upon your parents, even if they stand in the way of your pursuit of holiness, right? That's not what the Lord wants for us. But He means the same thing that's said in Deuteronomy, that you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart and mind and soul and strength. He's saying we should love God above all things and love nothing above Him. But note that Jesus is saying this about Himself. Only God could say that. So Jesus is claiming to be God. Right? Unless you love Me above all of these things, you cannot be My disciple. Now, as if that weren't hard enough, He continues on to say, whoever does not take up his cross cannot be My disciple. Now, friends, we need to attempt to imagine what it would have been like for His listeners who first heard these words. The cross for them was not a decoration on the wall. It was not a reminder that gives us comfort and consolation. It wasn't associated with a small sacrifice that we make with willingness and love. Take up your cross. No. For His listeners, for the first century Jews, the cross was humiliation. It meant pain. It was an instrument of torture. It was the deepest shame. It meant death. That's what He is telling them is necessary for them to be His disciples. So how could that be? How could this be the way? His listeners would have found it utterly absurd and ridiculous what He was asking. Jesus has this great opportunity. He's at the point where He can monetize His podcast, and He's just lost all of His followers. He's going to be canceled. You had your shot, Jesus, and you blew it. But remember, Jesus has come not to give us human wisdom, but divine wisdom. The cross is the revelation of true wisdom. So what is the cross? The cross is, it would take our whole life to understand and describe what's happening there, but I would say two things. One, we see in the cross the supreme obedience to the Father. Jesus is displaying the very thing that He just asked His disciples to do. He's displaying what it means to love God above even His own life, when He gives Himself in supreme obedience to the Father, even to the point of death. And secondly, we have come to know and understand the cross as the revelation of the supreme love of God for us. The great lengths to which God was willing to go to prove His love for us. St. Paul said, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. In a worldly sense, right, it makes no sense. It's foolishness. But, he says, to us who are being saved, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The cross is true wisdom. Certainly not human wisdom, it's divine wisdom. It's the wisdom that Solomon begged for. It's what shows us what is truly pleasing to God. You can just envision the Father as Jesus makes this sacrifice, saying those words again to his Son, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What we see on the cross is what pleases God. You might say, okay, well, you've made a lot of assertions here, Father, and I don't understand why that is true. I want to understand why. And as tantalizing as it is, I'm not going to open that door for us today, but just point you to that door for you to explore in your own life, in your own prayer. Today I'm affirming not the why of the cross, but the what. That without the cross, there is no salvation. And without us embracing the cross in our lives, there is no discipleship. Is the cross bewildering? Absolutely. Is it difficult? Of course, we all know that. Is it terrifying? If we really think about it, absolutely is. And to its core, it is a great mystery for us. Yet the cross of Jesus remains as our standard, that which we strive for, that which orients our life. So Jesus is asking us to cling to the cross. Whenever it's preached, people will balk, people will shy away, many will run off in search of a human wisdom, an easier wisdom. But there is only one true wisdom, the cross, the wisdom of God, and the power of God. So would you pray with me for that grace to want to say yes to what Jesus is asking, that grace to take up our crosses and to love Him above all things. Jesus, as we hear Your word today, we ask that You make our hearts receptive. We ask that, like Solomon, You make us long for Your wisdom more than for health or riches or all the fame of the world. We ask, Lord, that just as You gave Solomon the task to build Your holy temple, Your dwelling place on earth, built after the pattern of heaven, that You help us to make of our lives a temple that would be the dwelling of Your Holy Spirit. Built after the pattern, this temple built after the pattern that You have revealed for us in the life and death and resurrection of Christ. Lord, we ask You to give us, like Solomon, a desire to please You above all things, and that to love You would be our strongest desire and our sole preoccupation. Lord, we do not understand, and we are weak, so teach us the wisdom of the cross. Show us the saving power of Your cross. Amen.